How's everybody doing this morning? Hey, I want you guys to be praying about tonight's service, would you? God, got some people coming in. I'm going to start as soon as they get in the door. But God woke me up. I was going to change my sermon. God woke me up at 4:30 in the morning and said, nope, and gave me some new things to add to the sermon. So you guys be praying for me tonight because I'm going to preach exactly what God gave me. It's a sermon. Well, I'll say that tonight. As the guy said on Andy Griffin, I don't chew my oats twice. Mr. Darling. Well, this morning we're going to talk about the armor of God. And go ahead and go to that next slide. Kathy asked me, she said, why do you show that slide every time you teach this? I said, because every time I teach this, there's somebody new in the class. And I want you to know this. It's kind of like that song that lady who did, was her name Diane? It's kind of like that song Diane said she heard over and over and over again. Well, my wife's probably seen this slide over and over again. But I don't know if I was preaching one time on, because I do a lot of patriotic stuff I don't know if it's simply because when I was a pastor, because what I loved to do was have Veterans Day and put the slides up and show the veterans that served and just make a big deal of it. And I was doing one of those services, and I came across this in World War II, where on June 6, 1944, we attacked Normandy. It's called D-Day. General Eisenhower sent this letter out to the troops. And some people might consider this a negative statement, but I consider this an honest statement. He wanted his troops to be prepared for the battle. Because, I mean, you know, you're in an attacking force of 156,000. And you've been training, and you just think you're ready to just, whoop. I mean, 13,000 had already dropped behind the lines, and they had bombarded it for a couple of days from the ships, and now 156,000 of them were going ashore. I mean, you just might think you're just going to march in and just walk over them. And Eisenhower wrote this letter, and he said, and the first part of this letter, it's about 3 pages long, was so encouraging, but then he got to the end and he said this: your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, and they are battle hardened. This is your first time into battle. But these people you're going to attack are battle hardened, and he will fight savagely. And if you know the story of Normandy, that's exactly what happened. See Saving Private Ryan, and you'll know how Normandy looked. I'll just tell you something. This is what Paul's doing as he ends Ephesians. You need to understand that this letter of Ephesians, I have soaked it in for months, and I've read it so many times, and it's so awesome as it describes the church and the walk and the life, and then Paul, and then when you get to the end, it's kind of like Eisenhower's letter, you know? You get to the end, Paul then says, finally. Let's read that together. Go ahead. Go to the next slide. Finally, read it with me. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's methodia. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, before we go to today's, before we read the next slide, my brother down here was telling me yesterday something that I forgot to say yesterday, and I should have. When you put on those shoes and you march, they're not only defensive, they were offensive weapons for the Romans. Because the Romans would get into their formations, and they would march against the enemy, and they would just walk right over the enemy. And as the enemy was on the ground, these heavy hobnails on the bottom of these shoes, they would crush their skulls and put them into their armor. These shoes were something. And I had forgotten about that, and you reminded me, and I want to thank you for that. Now go to the next part of this scripture. Now today we're going to change gears a little bit. He's not talking about put on. He says, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and request. With this in mind, be alert. Now, what does that mean, Corey? Be alert? Wow, he doesn't want you to go to sleep. He wants you to stay awake. He wants you to have insomnia when it comes to this. Wow, that's pretty awesome. And always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Father God, help us this morning as we move forward looking at the rest of the armor. After stabilizing the believer with the belt of truth, after protecting the heart, after protecting the heart with the breastplate of righteousness and grounding the feet, the shoes of peace, Paul now turns to the shield of faith. Now hear me. This is how important faith is. This is the believer's primary defense against the enemy's direct assaults. Faith is our primary defense against the enemy's direct assaults. Here in the Greek, I think it's interesting. He says to take up the shield. And the word is for take up is analambano. Now, if you're a Greek scholar and that sounded a little different, analambano. I used to tell people that was Southern Greek. But being from West Virginia, that's hillbilly Greek. That's even harder to understand. Analambano. This is in the imperative mood. This is a command. This is a direct, authoritative command, not a suggestion. He's not saying consider taking up the shield. Or you might say to someone, it would be wise for you to take up the shield. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, take it up. Do it. And this fits Paul's pattern of armor in this message. Every verb in this scripture is a military command issued to soldiers in an active conflict. Now think about that. Every verb here has a military purpose. So this is in the imperative mood, the active voice, not the middle voice. The believer must perform this action. If you don't take up the shield, nobody will. You are to take up the shield of faith. It's active voice. No one else can do this for you. Listen to me. This is personal responsibility. This is intentional obedience. This is deliberate engagement in spiritual warfare. It's like you're going to just march forward and the gates of hell are not going to stand against you. Sometimes when I preach that scripture, I always do it this way. On this rock, and the gates of hell, and I just show hell doing this, as we are charging forward. You yourself must take up the shield. And this reinforces the idea that spiritual readiness cannot be delegated. I mean, I'm a pretty good delegator. But you cannot delegate personal responsibility. You cannot. This verb is also an aorist, in the aorist tense. But this is a little slightly different than the aorist tense of put on, because this is in the aorist imperative. This conveys a decisive, urgent, once for all action. It commands to do it now. Do it fully. Do it without delay. It's not a gradual process. It's not a repeated action. It's a decisive moment in time, now. Now's the time to take up the shield. And if you understand the fiery darts, which we read, I don't think we quite understand. These are missiles, any kind of missile. Spears. Well, I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Paul is saying take up the shield immediately in the aorist tense and do it completely. You have to take it up immediately and completely. And this matches the urgency of the battlefield imagery. In this battle, the arrows of the enemy are already flying. Now think about this. The Greek grammar here indicates that you are in immediate danger. Why it says take it up immediately. In the original Greek, it's incendiary. I was trying to say this in the Greek. I can't. Because in hillbilly Greek, it just does not translate. But it refers to destructive, penetrating weapons. These arrows are darts, javelins, missiles. It covers any weapon designed to pierce what it's aiming at. The goal of the enemy with these fiery arrows is to pierce your heart, to pierce your life, to bring in his methodia into your life. Let me just put it this way. If I were to say this in English, I'd probably say, I'm not even going to try it. These arrows set it on fire. They are dipped in pitch oil. They are made to ignite when they hit, and whatever they strike, it means they are burning, flaming missiles. They ignite structures. They cause chaos and panic among the troops. They inflict deeper damage. They not only pierce, but they burn. They spread fire, if not extinguished, immediately. I was doing some study this morning about right after I finished at 4:30 on my message. I decided to do a little bit more study on this, and I read somebody named Ellicott. Ellicott notes that these arrows were often dipped with burning tow, so red hot they would stick and burn until they were extinguished. That's why Paul says, when you read this, they would take these Roman shields and they would dip them in water. They had leather on them so they would be soaked. So when the arrows would hit them, the arrow would not set fire. Now think about that. The core idea here is faith is the believer's active trust in God. Let's look at the armor now. Let's just go through it real fast. The belt of truth, we know that. The breastplate of righteousness, we've studied that. The shoes, which I love. Now let's go to the shield. I think we need to understand how the Romans worked. The Romans had a weapon, and they called it the turtle. And the turtle, go to the next one. I'll show you the turtle. The next slide. That was the turtle. They would surround themselves with shields. They would cover the top with shields, and they would march forward, and the darts of the enemy and the arrows couldn't hit them from the side. They couldn't hit them from the top. And when the Romans marched through the enemy, that's when the shoes became a weapon. They were marching through, and they were just mowing down everything in their way. And as the enemy fell, they would step on them. I'm telling you something. This shield was a powerful part of the armor of God. See how it protects? This is what we need. This is how we need to do it in corporate worship. This is how we need to do it as the body of Christ. See, this is when we come together. This shield was not just meant for me as an individual. We are people of faith. Amen? We believe and we trust. And when we come together, I'm telling you, the enemy doesn't stand a chance. I say, praise the Lord. Wait a minute, you're getting in preaching mode, Joe, not teaching mode. Now let's talk about where this is seen throughout Ephesians. In Ephesians 1, Paul celebrates the fact that they are born again because they have faith in the Lord Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, he says salvation is by grace through faith. In Ephesians 3:12, he says we have bold access to God through faith. Ephesians 3:17, Christ Jesus dwells in our heart through faith. I say praise the Lord. This is a mighty, powerful part of our armor of God. Faith is the believer's defensive strength against spiritual attack. The shield of faith extinguishes the lies of Satan. It knocks away his accusations. You know, he's a great accuser. He's a liar. If he can get you discouraged, if he can get you feeling like you're down in a ditch, have you ever been down in a ditch personally? You know how hard it is to get out when you're discouraged, almost depressed, maybe even a little depression, and you're down in that ditch? I used to tell a story because this happened when I was pastoring at Marion First Church. And I'll make this quick, this little segue. I had a brand new family come to our church. Their name was Dick and Linda James. We also had another Dick and Linda James who were our musicians and singers and on the stage. So when Dick and Linda came to the altar and got saved, I got up and I said, now Dick and Linda are going to have a special song for us. And those two went, what? It was the other Dick and Linda. They didn't even know them. But they invited Kathy and me out to their house, and they bought me a new suit, and it was kind of cool. We went out to their house for a cookout, and it was so funny because their daughter, she was 16. She came whipping by on a motorcycle. They had this motorcycle on the farm, and I saw the motorcycle, and they would ride across the ground out into the cornfield, and then they'd ride back. I said, wow, I never rode a motorcycle. I only rode a motorcycle one time in my life, and this was it. And next thing you know, I looked, and their 13-year-old daughter, she come whipping by, and she was on the motorcycle, and she went out into the cornfield and came back, and I said, wow. Then all of a sudden, I looked up, and their 8-year-old son, he was on the motorcycle, and he was riding out into the cornfield, and I said, you know, I think I can do that. Now, I'd never ridden a motorcycle. So I got on that motorcycle, man, and I hit that gas, and all of a sudden I went out, and all of a sudden I was going 45 and 50 miles an hour, and I'm going through that cornfield, and I got to the end of the cornfield, and I didn't know anything about brakes, so I got to the cornfield, and I hit the brakes, and the thing wobbled like that, and I said, ah, no problem, I can do that, and then all of a sudden I turned the motorcycle around, and I headed back, and I'm whipping back again like an idiot, going 45, 50 miles an hour. Came back. All of a sudden, I was in their yard. All of a sudden, I was right up front. And I just went, hit those brakes, and I slid about 60 feet. And I burned myself all the way down my side. I was burned from sliding. I'm glad it wasn't gravel. It was grass. And I slid across that grass, and I'm laying there underneath that motorcycle. Here's exactly what happened. My brother Brian, you guys know Brian. Brian was over there, and Brian goes, Rudy, Rudy. Kathy's over there going, just laughing. And I was trying to be brave, so I pushed that motorcycle off of me, and I got up, and I asked Kathy why she laughed. She said, oh, I knew you were all right. So God gave me a sermon to preach the next time I was in church. It was called Digging Ditches. You know how many times we dig ourselves a ditch and we get in it and we say, God, why are you taking me through this valley? God didn't tell me to get on that motorcycle. I did it. See, sometimes we dig ditches and we put ourselves in them. And man, when you get into a ditch, it's hard to get out. The shield of faith, though, I don't know what that had to do with much, except when you're in a ditch, faith will take you out of it. Faith is the God-given ability to trust His character. It's the God-given ability to trust His promises. It's the God-given ability to have His presence, even in the midst of, especially in the midst of spiritual attacks. This active voice reinforces this. Faith must be exercised, not nearly possessed. You're saved by faith, amen? That's given to you by God when you get saved. You're saved by faith. You are justified by faith. That's what Romans 5 says. But once you are saved by faith, when you are in the battle, you've got to exercise faith. You've got to use it. You got to take it up immediately. You got to take it up now. The Roman armor comparison. Let me talk about the Roman armor a little bit. Go ahead and go back to the slide before this, would you? That really gives you a picture of what the shields, they were about 4 foot tall, 4 to 6 foot tall. They covered, and they were curved to cover the body. They were made of layered wood, leather, and metal. Often soaked in water before going into battle, I already said to extinguish flaming arrows. Designed to interlock with each other for group defense. That's the turtle formation. And sometimes it's just the formation that they lock together so they're going forward as a wall. And the enemy doesn't, and the enemy can't stand it. It's called a scutum. It's for full body protection. It's defense against the enemy's projectiles. It gives you strength in formation. Listen, as a church, as a camp, I know that, Wayne, you and the camp workers and the people of this camp, you pray for God to work. I know I was praying about this week, and we were praying about this week, and I'm telling you, I saw this week last night, my prayers were answered. My goodness, seeing those little kids up here, my wife, she was so entranced with those flags. I'm telling you, it was wonderful to see how God's working through the kids in this camp. And then the message last night, oh my goodness. I'm telling you, God answers prayer. God listens to us when we are people of faith. Faith is your mobile protection. As you're walking through this life, as you're doing the journey of holiness, you know, when you're born again, and it's that initial sanctification, when all your sins are washed away, all those acts are washed away, never to be remembered again, and now you are God's child. You are born again immediately, and you start the journey. Faith takes you through this life. I thank God for His gift of faith, and I praise His name. Old Testament background for faith, Genesis 15:1. God said, I am your shield. Psalms 3:3, God is a shield around me. Psalms 18:30, He is a shield and one who I can trust in. I can put my trust in Him. Proverbs 35, God is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. I say praise the Lord. In the New Testament, Hebrews 11, faith is the very substance of all things you hope for. Now think about that. You have hopes. You have dreams. You want to see things happen in the future. I know I pray for my grandkids. I pray for my kids. But last week I had 2 grandsons in the military. One of them went to Syria for 400 days. The other one was in the Marines. He got out since I've been in this camp. He's 4 years were up and he got out. But 2 weeks ago they were both in the military, and all this stuff that's going on, I've been on my knees praying for my grandsons and my other grandsons and my granddaughter and my great-grandkids. This world is a broken, shattered place. This world is full of sin. It is. This is a place where we are in battle constantly against the very enemy of our soul. So as I think about the future, and when I think of the future, I'm talking about next step I take. I don't know about you, but that's what my faith is. Somebody says, well, I have this kind of faith. Let me tell you the kind of faith I have. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite things I used to say all the time as a pastor, the only certain thing about tomorrow is that it's uncertain. And I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't. So what I do is I pray and I talk to the Father and I tell him I'm going to trust him and I start walking through faith, reading my word, asking him for direction, and I walk believing this is the way he wants me to go, and I have enough faith to believe if I get off the path, he's going to show me. I say, praise the Lord. He will answer my faith. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. You got to have the word. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Resist the devil by standing firm in the faith. 1 John 5, 4. Faith overcomes the world. I say praise the Lord. Faith is not wishful thinking. Faith is not positive feelings. Faith is not blind optimism. Some people think that's what we have. Wishful thinking. Positive feelings. Blind faith. Blind optimism. No. Faith is trusting in God's character. When I take up the shield of faith, I know who I'm trusting in. It's him. The one who never changes. Well, I love what you said in your sermon, Corey, the one who loves me all the time. He loves me when I'm good. He loves me when I'm bad. He loves me when I'm sad. He loved me when I was lost. Oh, boy, aren't you glad for that prevenient grace? Oh, my goodness. That's part of that journey of holiness. Faith is where I am trusting in God's character. Where do I learn about God's character? In the book. Confidence in God's promises. One time I was listening to the radio. I was driving home actually from working at Coca-Cola on my way back to Ohio Christian. I worked at Coca-Cola in Columbus, and I would drive home after working those 8 to 10 hours at Coca-Cola, especially in the summer. And as I was driving home, I would be praying. And I had this guy, I'd come on the radio every night, and he'd always talk about, you send me $100 and I will send you a prayer cloth. It was part of my mother's prayer cloth. I've sold thousands of these. I said, my goodness, your mother must have had a big prayer cloth. You know, and he would say, if you have my mother's prayer cloth in your hands and you pray, it will be answered. Nonsense. That's not a promise from God. If you want to know God's promises, get in the book. I'll tell you what's important too. Faith is obedience. Obedience to God. And faith will bring you perseverance through the trials of life. I say, praise the Lord. Here are some of those fiery darts the enemy likes to throw against you and me. Doubt. He'll deceive you. If he can get into your mind and have you starting doubting things, doubting your church, doubting your spouse, doubting your God, that's the same weapon he used against Adam and Eve. Did God really say that? Putting doubt into your minds. Fear. Oh, my goodness. One of Satan's greatest weapons is fear. I think there's a reason why God put Tab in one room and Kathy and I in another room, because Kathy and I have these big old spiders every morning we have to deal with, and Tab goes, I mean, I woke up yesterday and went into our bathroom. In our shower, there was two black spiders walking. I mean, big dudes. They were walking up, and then on the wall, there was another one. And I always grab a little toilet paper and kill this one and kill that one and kill that one and flush them down the toilet. And this morning, I got up and crawling up from our, there must be a spider nest in our room, because right above the sink, there was this big old black spider, and he was climbing up to the medicine cabinet, and I grabbed the toilet paper and went, Kathy's sick this morning, but when I told her, oh no, there was another spider, she goes, thank you, dear. I couldn't have faced that spider this morning. Let me tell you something, fear. Satan will tell you many times, you're not going to make it. Give up. Did you really do that? Satan used to make me feel guilty about everything I did. Because he will definitely bring non-essential guilt onto you. He will love to make you feel guilty and to fear things. I had a job at Coca-Cola. It was really cool. Listen, my boss at Coca-Cola was an atheist. Quote, atheist, unquote. He definitely said he did not believe in God. But I'll tell you one thing. When I started working there, and I was a student at Ohio Christian, and I was pastoring a little church, and I was working full-time at Coca-Cola, raising three kids. No one of those were some stressful years, I'm going to tell you what. But I'll tell you what happened. Art, that was his name, every place I would go when I was working, he would walk beside me and ask me questions. The old atheist just, and he knew I stood for what I believed. So he let me do things. He let me get off work early if I had a test. He wasn't that kind of boss. But I got a job at Coke where they had these great big trucks that they would roll in these big racks of Coca-Cola and my favorite drink back then, Tab. I used to call it the totally awesome beverage. Tab actually stood for totally artificial beverage. That's what it stood for. So I would load those up. See, they gave us a free case every Friday night, you know, for working. So I would roll those into the truck. And then I was supposed to sweep those trucks out. Well, truck would come in, there'd be nothing in it. I didn't have to do any sweeping. So I'd load it up, and as soon as that truck would pull out, Satan would go, there you go. You're supposed to sweep that truck out, and you call yourself a Christian. That's not running through my mind. He's a liar. My boss didn't care if I swept out a clean truck, but that's how Satan is. Fear is one of his weapons. And let me tell you what, faith, temptation. Be faithful in your walk. You can overcome temptation. Accusations. Oh, he loves to tell you you're not worthy. Discouragement. Oh, my goodness. One of his greatest weapons. Lies about God's character. Boy, does he do that. Well, I got to admit, sometimes the way some of the Christians act, legalistic and judgmental, and I just got to tell you, drives me crazy. A new believer might look at that and say, wow, that's how God is. Faith extinguishes all those things. Faith does not ignore reality. No, this is real. But trust God above all other circumstances, and you can't go wrong. The shield of faith is not something you hold once. It's something we need to have to use in every season of life. When you're a young person, my goodness, you need faith. When you're raising kids, when you become a grandparent, and like me, when you're a great-grandparent, whenever I go to places I've never been, I may have already told you this, but I always say to the crowd, I know you think I'm 57, but I'm 77. And when we'd services over, Kathy always goes, get over it. They know you ain't no 57. Okay, here's the application for life. Go ahead and go down two slides. There we go. This is what you need to do in your life when it comes to the shield of faith. Lift up the shield daily. Take it up. It's imperative that you do it. It's active. You got to do it. It's in the aorist tense. You got to do it now. Take it up. Faith must be exercised, not stored away somewhere. Speak God's promises. That's not, you know, I don't think we practice that very often. See, faith grows when we declare truth. When I talk about speaking God's promises, I'm talking about something like this. Hey, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was on my way to hell, now I'm on my way to heaven. You know, that's speaking God's promises. Stay in formation. Stay true to the body of Christ. Stay together. Be like that turtle formations. The Roman shields interlocked. Faith is strengthened in community. I believe that. Resist fear. Faith and fear cannot rule in your heart at the same time. I want to stop there for just a moment. I'll be done in just a couple moments. See, I believe there is a wrong kind of doubt and a wrong kind of fear. But I also believe, as part of humanity, living in a shattered, broken world, sometimes there's just plain honest doubt. And I believe in my soul, God knows the difference. God knows if I have a doubt that's carnal, and He knows if I just honestly am human and I'm caught up in a broken world, and God knows that. And I say, praise the Lord. And I believe there's an honest fear. I believe sometimes that God knows, and He comforts and He strengthens. And then finally, trust God's character. Put your total trust in Him. Faith is rooted in God who is God. I love to say that. This is how I pray. Just how I start my prayers. Every time I pray, and I have my personal devotions, Lord, the first thing I want to do is thank You for being You. Aren't you glad that God is God? And the Word says there is none other. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who never changes? Aren't you glad we serve a God that we can put our faith in and know that we can trust His character? He's the same today as He was yesterday, and He'll be the same tomorrow. I say praise the Lord. Stand with me and we're going to close. Take up the shield of faith. Say this with me. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's make it personal. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Father, take us from this place knowing that we need to put on the whole armor. And when the whole armor is in place, Satan doesn't stand a chance. I say praise the Lord. Shake hands with somebody this morning you haven't shaken hands with.